Good morning, Fraser Lands Church. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a pleasure to be here. I have a very simple message for you. And so I hope that you'll take it to heart. Take what you can, and then whatever you can't, just chuck it out. And that's okay. I won't be offended. I want to tell you a little bit about myself and being a father. And this message, it is primarily geared, of course, to the grandfathers, the spiritual fathers, the father fathers, the soon-to-be fathers, and those who would hope to be fathers. But we all have a role to play. So ladies, if you really want to go, you can go now. And come back on my third part, and that's the part that you need to hear the most, is part three. You don't want to leave? Okay, that's fine. I want to tell you about my personal journey first. So when Pastor Abe asked me to come and speak on Father's Day, I was like, and of course, there's a little bit of fear, but it wasn't about fear about speaking. It was fear of the topic, about being a father, about fatherhood. And I want to share my journey with you. It goes back a long time ago when I first became a believer in this church. And after I became a believer, and I was in that range of looking to get married, I said, what should I do? What do I need to become? What do I have to look for? And one of the things that I did, and I may have shared the story with you before, is that I looked around the church at women who are about 20 years older than me, who I really admired, and I wanted to interview them because I wanted to know what they were like back when they were my age, because then they could become the women that I see today. And so I did that. There was three or four of them, and there's still one here in this room. And I was very, very blessed because they shared things to me which I had completely no idea. I was like, really? No way. Because I looked at this marvelous woman at a mature age, but back when they were my age, they were fumbling around and they were learning, and they were greatly guided by their future spouse. So that told me something, that I need to become a man who could guide my future wife. And the simple way is what? It's to follow Jesus. But it made even more sense to me now because of the woman that I admired, the great woman that I had a chance to interview. So eventually, as you know, I did find an amazing wife. My wife is Joyce. If you don't know her, she's not even here right now because she's helping out with kids. And I have three sons, Evan, who's 12, Elijah, 10, and Luke, who just turned 5. But at the beginning of our marriage, it wasn't that great, I'll be honest with you. I had just started to full-time ministry with Youth for Christ, Youth Unlimited. Just started. And you know those wonderful things that you pray to God for? Well, my wife and I, we prayed that we would have 1 year together. 1 year. And then we have children. And of course, in your heads, like you and me, it's like 1 year of just yourselves. Well, it happened to be about 3 months of just ourselves, and then Joyce got pregnant. And so Evan, our first, came out 1 week after our first anniversary. Well, God answered our prayer, but it was very challenging. And I was in ministry. I just started. And I have to tell you, it was very humbling because I was an absentee dad. For almost 2 years, I just poured myself into ministry, poured myself into other people's lives, to young lives especially. And I thought everything was fantastic until I talked to my mentor, and he kind of mentioned that, well, you know, you say everything's good, but I need to talk to Joyce. And I'm like, why does he want to talk to Joyce? So I said, okay, whatever. But I went back home and I asked Joyce, what is it? I said, you know, how am I doing as a husband, as a dad? And for those of you who already know, she said it very, very plainly. You really want to know the truth? And I'm thinking, of course I want to know. I wouldn't ask you if I didn't want to know the truth. Secondly, it's like, I was just waiting for accolades. You're so good. You're an amazing husband. But that wasn't the case. What she said instead floored me. She said, if I was not a believer, I would have divorced you. I feel like a single mom. That's not the best way to start off a Father's Day speech, is it? But it's the truth. But it was an amazing wake-up call for me. I needed that wake-up call. Because you see, in many ways, I'll be honest, and maybe men here also know what I'm talking about, I didn't know what it means to be a father. I just didn't know. I have a father. And I would even still say today, I have a good father who did his very best because of his example in his own life. Very typical father for his generation. Work incredibly hard, provide for your children, put clothes on their back, food in front of them, and send them as far as they can in education. And then you did your job. And that's what my father did. And he did his best of his ability. And I recognize there were hard times, of course, but I recognize that in him. But at the same time, after getting married and becoming a believer in Christ, I knew there was more. There's more that I had to do. I do not blame my father whatsoever. See, he's not a believer. I'm the only one in my family, and still am, who believes in Christ. And I need to make a decision on how I, as a man and as a father, would intentionally lead my family. How am I going to do that? So I want to share with you three simple things. Really, really simple. And I hope that you'll take them to heart. Ladies, remember number three, okay? Number three. The first one that I had to come to recognize, and it might seem simple, but I think it's really important. The word is authority. The word is authority. Exodus 20:12 very simply says, honor your mother and father. Honor them. Christ was given authority over heaven and earth. And as fathers, we're supposed to receive honor from our children. We have been given authority over them. Question is this, and I think it's very, very difficult. What does authority mean? What does it mean? And how do we live it out? You see, I had a father who definitely had authority in our family. He worked hard, he'd come home, he would then flip the newspaper up and read. That's what he did. And if his newspaper crinkled and came down, you were in really big trouble. Like, huge trouble. There was a fear of Dad. And I still think it was an okay fear because we respected Dad and we were fearful of him. So he had that part done really good, I believe. And he exercised it in different ways and exercised it in a way which I believe is very important. And that is the discipline of your children. The discipline of your children. Spare the rod, ruin the child. Proverbs 13:24. There's a huge controversy of this current age, how we discipline our children, especially if you look into the area of corporal punishment. And it absolutely blows my mind at how technical it's getting. But in the end, in so many ways, our children are not being disciplined appropriately. I think the hardest part is finding how to discipline them. And I have disciplined my kids, sometimes appropriately, and I'll be honest, sometimes inappropriately. Myself as an authority figure over my family. I observe it from my father, and maybe some would say his mistakes, and I observe it on my own as well. I've learned to be creative in my discipline as well. Because I've seen, you know what, they're changing, they're growing. And I have needed to change the way I have disciplined my kids. From when they're very small, from spanking, as they've gotten older, like, no, that's not gonna work, they're just too big. So they do now lots of push-ups, they do lots of sit-ups, they do lots of hands up here, hands over here. Yeah, we take away the electronics sometimes. But I figured if you can do push-ups and sit-ups and push-up burpees, it's a win. Win and a win. It's a win for me because they're tired and they have less energy. It's a win for them because they got really big muscles. And if you're not sure of that, yes, Connor's laughing because he knows how big Elijah's muscles are. And three, it's a win for their future girlfriend and wives because, wow, how can he be so big and strong? That's because his dad did it through discipline. It's a win, win, win. But you know what? That's going to change as well. We need to be creative. We need to be effective. Ask. Look around. Discover. But as an authoritative figure in a family, you need to, part of that is discipline. Because too much today, fathers are not taking the mantle of authority. I work with teens. I work with a lot of teens who either have no father, or they have an absentee father, or a father who does not discipline their kids. And I see the wildness of it. But not just the wildness of a child, I see a child who feels unsafe. They don't know the boundaries. Appropriate discipline helps set strong boundaries, helps set that, you know what, even though I have done this, I still love you. As an authority figure, I have to discipline my kids, and I do, and I even say things, but you know what? There are times when I cross the line. I'm so thankful that my wife, because I go to Joyce at times, say, was I too harsh? Was I too harsh? She'll tell me, and then I will apologize to my kids. I had to apologize to Elijah just yesterday. But you know what the amazing thing is? He forgave me. He forgave me. Authority figures have something amazing as well, what they can do. This is something that I had personally received from my dad. He didn't even know what he was doing, but he did this. It's the blessing. From Genesis 27, Isaac blesses, he's going to pass away, but he blesses his sons. He blesses Jacob, he blesses Esau, but he blesses his son. Have you ever ran to someone really important? Someone maybe who's popular or authority figure, whatever. I ran into an ex-mayor of Vancouver in the elevator. As the elevator opened up, he was standing there. I was like, oh! And he looks at me, and I shook his hand because that's the only thing I could think of. Hi, Mr. So-and-so. And I shook his hand. His hand was humongous. I'm like, I shook the mayor's hand. He acknowledged me. I still remember that. My father did the same thing for me, acknowledging me as an adult. Very simple way, but it changed our relationship right after that. It's been completely different. As a father, you have an opportunity to bless your child by the words you use, acknowledging them, recognizing them, bestowing upon them a great blessing. And you know what? I believe your child will never forget that as well. Second thing I want to share with you, servanthood. Christ came to serve, not to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. What a crazy example. And us too, as fathers. Yes, I love being, especially this morning, when I got my breakfast, when it was served to me, my bread with peanut butter, and then I had my egg, slightly undercooked, but okay nonetheless. And they served it to me with joyfulness. Hey, Dad, here you go, here's your breakfast. Like, yeah. And then Lukey came and he gave me like this little box with gifts in it, and some of them, I think he took it for me to give it back to me or something. And to give these gifts, it's wonderful to be served. But you know what? As fathers, we need to serve our families. I believe we already do it now. Fathers typically are looked as very hardworking to provide for them, which my father did very, very well. I'm so thankful for that. They provide for us. But there's another service that I think is more difficult. There's another service that kids cry out as dads, grandfathers, mentors, is even more. See, I remember my father, he worked really hard. 6 to 7 days a week, he was gone when I was growing up, and we lived in Maple Ridge, and he worked in downtown Vancouver. He'd leave at 6 a.m., sometimes get back at 9 or later. And maybe on one day in the week, he would be working in the house because we had an older house and he was always fixing it. So he wasn't really there. Just wasn't there. I knew he was there because I could hear him sometimes. I woke up, my door was shut, and I could hear him. But you didn't see him very often. And he worked very, very hard for us. And my mom says, your dad does this because he loves you. And that's what stuck in my head. Stuck in my head. But all of that desire for my father came crashing down in our 20s. All three of us, my brother, sister, and myself, is desiring our parents to show us love, to care for us in ways that they hadn't, for hugs and kisses, and to verbally say it. We wanted more. It took me until my 20s to recognize this. Do you know what? And it was a painful event. Your kids are asking the same thing of you, dads. And I think it comes with simply spending time with them. Just time. The provision of clothes and stuff. You know what? My kids can wear the ugliest things. In fact, Evan continues to wear the ugliest pair of jeans ever. He doesn't even want to wear the new jeans because he likes the ones with holes in them. Didn't get that from me, by the way. He doesn't care what he's wearing. What he does care about most is, Dad, will you play with me? Dad, will you come play table tennis? Will you go throw the ball with me? The only one, I'll be honest with you, which I'm like, I am not doing that. Dad, will you play Pokemon with me? Dad, let me teach you how to play. I'm like, Evan, I have no interest whatsoever. We'll go play hockey. We'll go play football. We'll go bounce on the track. We can do all this stuff, but I draw the line at Pokemon. And I always tell him, this too shall pass. It'll pass, kid. I know it will. Unfortunately, he's still hung on to it. Fathers, your kids are crying out for you. They're crying out for you to spend time with them. Yes, even the ones who don't like hugs, like my second one, doesn't even like it when I kiss him. He still likes it anyways. I'm kicking this off. That time is so important. And you know what? It's a sacrifice. We've already given so much to our bosses, to our supervisors, to those who have authority over us. And we come home exhausted. And many of us, we put up the proverbial newspaper. Maybe it's the television. Maybe it's the internet. And we put that up. And it becomes a barrier between us and our children. Again, I love my father. But growing up, I saw the backside of the newspaper more than I saw his face. What do you want your children to see, fathers? So, push the button, turn it off, let the newspaper drop, use a remote, turn off the TV. Take the initiative with them, even if it's Pokemon. See what could happen. You already know the adage, they grow up so fast. It's so true. You see, as I shared with you as a father, I was so busy, I really missed out on Evan, my oldest, when he was born and his first few years. Elijah as well, born 19 months later. I really took almost no part in their upbringing. Almost none. And I didn't think Joyce and I were going to have kids until 5 years after Elijah, Luke pops out. I'm like, what? We could go back to diapers? Not that I did a lot anyways. But I got a second chance. Second chance to be a father to a newborn, to a young one. And even though it was very hard, it's been an incredible blessing. God gave me another chance to be a dad. And so for those of you right now, just reflect back. It doesn't matter if your kid's a newborn, 5, 10, maybe even that 20 years old. He's still your child. He's still your child. It's a crazy sacrifice, but it's not too late. For me, I was in my early 20s building a new relationship with my father. And I'm very thankful for that today. Lastly, I think this one's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. I can say this for me. When it comes to guys, we have, not everyone, of course, we have a pride issue. Can anyone agree with me on that one, man? Really? Those hands are not going up? What? You're lying. Your wives are beside you. They know. They know if you have a pride issue. Okay, you can hide it for now. God knows. Who's it pointing at anyways? I'm not going to say your name out loud. We have a pride issue. Mine was asking for help. Like, very, very typical guy. You know you don't know it all, but you're going to find a way. You're going to beat the drum until you find the right rhythm. Fake it till you make it. And you know what? Unfortunately, along the way, we can cause a lot of damage. Cause a lot of damage. One of the things I believe that we need to do is to be humble. And the two words that God gave me was humbly receive. Humbly receive. There's a lot of information out there on the internet and books about being a father. The Bible speaks incredibly about it. It's there. It's really there for the taking. And especially I would say this as well. It's with the people around you, here in this very room, in your community, in your workplace. You know, one thing, well, I'm a little bit weird. See, I talk a lot more than my wife, as you probably know. We're kind of the opposite that way. She should really almost be the guy. I should be the girl. It's kind of weird that way, but that's just life. God made us this way. And so a lot of guys I know don't like to talk, but I do. So I ask lots and lots of questions because I'm very curious. And I also know that I lack a lot. And the best I can get, which my father told me, he goes, you can either do it yourself or you find someone who's done it before you and you speed up the process. And so the words from my father is to ask others. So our family group, I ask a lot of questions to other fathers of what they're doing, how they're doing, what works, what doesn't work. And I look and see if I can apply that my own, to my own family, to my kids, especially when it comes to discipline, especially when it comes to encouraging and motivating them, because they're incredibly challenging. But I have a resource right there in front of me, right there beside me, in this very room. So many of you guys have blessed me tremendously. Your role modeling as well. Yes, I know. You may be a phenomenal role model and your kids turn on, doesn't mean you didn't try. Who knows what's going to happen to my kids the next couple of years? They could be swinging off the rafters very soon, actually. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I will do my best nonetheless. To receive humbly, I also believe, means to ask your spouse. I try my best to do a check-in with my wife. Ask, how am I doing this week? What have you seen? What have you heard? Because we're very different. I need her guidance as well. I need her wisdom. And just so you know, ladies, guys don't like nagging. They don't like nagging. Well, maybe some guys do. I don't think it's very, none of the guys I know do. Nagging doesn't really help. It usually makes us more stubborn. Guys, we need to ask our wives for advice. So as I mentioned earlier, asking my wife, this doesn't even work, does it? I don't even know why I'm leaning into that. I ask my wife, did I punish too harshly? My words too harsh? To get her feedback. You know what? I even do this. I even ask my kids, how's daddy doing? You know, and I always take that one with a grain of salt, I'll be honest. Because sometimes, see, yes, do they tell the truth at this age? The oldest is 12. They do tell the truth. But, my oldest is now thinking, what can I get out of this? What can I can see it in his eyes. He's very crafty. So those of you who know my son, Evan, be very careful, counselors. He knows how to manipulate, unfortunately. And I'll say he didn't get it from me, I hope. So the advice you get, take it with a grain of salt. Look at it, examine it, the truthfulness of it, the heart of it. Is it worthy to grasp onto? Is it worthy to grasp onto? See, I was in awe of Jesus. He can make bread. He can make wine. Multiply food incredibly. Know where coins were in a fish. And yet, in Luke 8:23, there were numerous women providing for him and his disciples. He did not need them. He didn't need them. But he allowed them to help him and his disciples. I think, men, we need to lower our pride. We can do it alone. And we need to ask for help for those who can provide it. And women, you are one of the best resources to provide that help. Fellow brothers, you are the best resources to provide that. Let's follow our Lord. So, three simple things. Men, you have authority. God has given you the authority over your family. Use it wisely. Use it, don't abuse it. We are servants. Some areas of service are so easy. Some areas of service and giving of our time is incredibly hard. Think how Christ served us, even to the cross. And lastly, humbly receive. God has provided all that we need through his word, I believe through the fellowship of the church. The fellowship of the church. He's provided it for us. Will you receive it? Will you accept it? We're not meant to be alone. Don't forget, guys. Adam wasn't meant to be alone. Neither are you. And we don't have to go through this alone. Very simple. Remember your authority. Remember your servanthood. Remember to receive humbly. And I pray, fathers, as you're growing, and I'm learning to grow, that you can look back and be amazed at what God's doing you. See, I've been a father now for 12 years, and I started out incredibly poorly. Incredibly poorly. But God, through a painful experience, helped me to take a different route. I'm still learning. I'm still journeying on it. And I emotionally discovered something about myself. It's funny. Sometimes people would come to me and say, Tombert, you're such a good father. Even Pastor Abe said that. But in my head, I'm saying, but you don't know. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the things I've said. My wife does. But you know what? One of the best things that ever happened to me, I was on a prayer retreat. Oops. I was on a prayer retreat. Where was I? Lake Wanak in Maple Ridge. And did I just lose something? Oops. And I was by the shore, and I was praying and asking God, what does he have for me? And he said something to me that just blew my mind. See, all the years of me struggling, identifying myself as a father, trying to be a good father, I didn't believe that I was a good father. I didn't believe it. And God said something to me. He told me, I'm a good father. Or I apologize, I'm a good dad, his exact words. And I kind of went, huh? What? He said this to me 6 times. I'm a good dad. I'm not a perfect dad. He's been training me and teaching me, and I'm not even close to being done yet. And fathers, you're not done yet either. You're growing and you're learning. And I hope the simple things that I've shared with you today, it may be a start, it might be maybe a completion, or just continuing on the journey. And I pray that you would utilize the gifts that God has given you and the people that God has surrounded you by to continue to bless that journey as a father. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good. You're so amazing. Your love encompasses all. If only we would receive it. Your children are endeared to you. And for those of us who are fathers, Lord God, help us to remember that we make mistakes, but in asking forgiveness, even to our very own children, how amazing they are at forgiving us. And that our role, Lord, doesn't stop when they're an adult or they moved on. It continues, Lord. Help us to always be mindful, Lord God, of the role that you have blessed us with. To enjoy it, to embrace it, to love it. And I pray for all of my brothers here, Lord God, that they would hear you say, Lord God, you're a good father. You're a good daddy. And I am pleased with you. Praise you and thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all said, amen.